Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor, and this week, war, oil, Ebola, and a papal visit that half the media just ignored. Let's get into it.
And MicroStrategy. Don't forget MicroStrategy.
We will get there, forecaster. Promise. But first, Iran. Because this week it was everywhere and somehow still underexplained.
Yeah, and the framing split is genuinely interesting. You had military strikes, a ceasefire supposedly still in effect, and oil moving hard. Three completely different stories depending on where you read.
Break it down. What were the frames?
So the financial press, Bloomberg leading, it's all about the Strait of Hormuz. Energy flows, market stability. The military stuff is almost backdrop.
Which makes sense, because that's where the money was moving.
Right, but defense-focused outlets, ISW, that world, it's the military dimensions. Keshem Island strikes, radar sites, Iranian retaliation, completely different lens.
Same week, same strikes, two different wars.
And the kicker? Oil held a three-day gain before slipping. So the market was pricing in disruption, but not catastrophe.
Not catastrophe. That's a meaningful distinction.
It really is. Because the headlines felt catastrophic. Ceasefire on brink, strikes exchanged. But the money was saying manageable risk.
I mean, equity futures slipped, Asian markets set to fall. It's not like markets were calm.
Fair point. But oil didn't spike to 120. That's the tell.
Forecaster, what were the prediction markets doing on Iran escalation?
So nothing direct on Iran escalation this week specifically, but China blockading Taiwan, sitting at 2.8%, Russian strike on Poland, 2.1%. These tail risks, the market is not buying the doom narrative.
The market is asleep on the doom narrative.
Resting comfortably, yeah.
Okay, but here's where I'd push back on the markets are calm read. The war powers resolution, Congress moving to constrain Trump on Iran? That's a massive political signal that wasn't priced anywhere.
Wait, the War Powers Resolution passed the House. 19 sources covered it. How is that not priced?
Because passing the House and actually constraining a president are very different things procedurally.
PBS and PolitiFact were literally walking through the procedural steps this week.
Right, and the market apparently read those same articles and went, yeah, not happening.
Which is probably the correct read. Okay, there's another Iran angle that almost nobody touched. Strategist, you had the asset seizure story.
Yeah, this one's fascinating and underreported. Reuters and CNBC picked it up. The U.S. is weighing seized Iranian assets to fund reconstruction for Gulf allies. Bessent has a team on it.
They're going to pay Gulf states with Iran's own frozen money?
That's the idea on the table, yeah.
And that's a right-side blind spot. Conservative media largely skipped it.
Which is strange, honestly. You'd think that's a tough-on-Iran story they'd love.
Unless it makes the war look more permanent? More expensive? Maybe that's the uncomfortable part.
Oh, that's good. That's actually good.
I think Farcaster's onto something. The reconstruction framing implies long-term commitment. That's a harder sell.
All right, let's get to the blind spot of the week. And this one is a big deal. Ebola.
Huge miss. Genuinely surprised.
So the CDC dropped a modeling report Friday. 20,000 cases in 3 months without intervention. That would rival the 2014-2016 outbreak, the one that killed 11,000 people.
And right-leaning outlets? Largely absent.
I mean, how do you miss a CDC report that says 20,000 cases?
Here's my read on the framing logic. The CDC is the source. In the current media environment, for certain outlets, CDC credibility is complicated.
That's a diplomatic way to put it.
Also, the risk to Americans is low line. Right-leaning outlets that did cover it led with that, which is technically accurate. But buries the global humanitarian scale.
It's a 20,000-person story becoming a don't worry, you're fine story. That's a wild editorial choice.
Same event, completely different story, depending on which sentence you lead with.
That's exactly it. The CDC report has both facts. Which one is the headline tells you everything.
And look, DRC, Uganda, Central Africa. If this were anywhere closer to a US population center, the coverage calculus changes immediately.
Geography as editorial filter. We talk about this a lot.
Because it's always true.
All right, let's do what the money thinks. Forecaster, take it.
Okay, MicroStrategy. This is the one that moved this week. Does MicroStrategy sell any Bitcoin by May 31st? Shot to 53.3%. That's a 12.7 point swing in 1 week.
12.7 points?
In 1 week. And the June 30th contract is at 77.3%. So the market is basically saying it's not if, it's when.
Is that actually significant, or is this a low liquidity market making a weird move?
Fair question. And honestly, it's a niche contract. But a 12-point swing on a binary question in 7 days is real signal.
And none of the financial media picked this up as a framing story?
Zero. MicroStrategy's Bitcoin position is treated as a fait accompli. The POSIX that they're forced to sell? Crickets.
That's actually a significant divergence. Not a media market divergence in the traditional sense, but...
It's a narrative gap. The media's story is MicroStrategy holds Bitcoin forever. The market's story is maybe not.
The media's story and the money's story aren't the same story. Classic.
It's always the week's theme.
What else? Other market moves?
Starmer out by June 15th. 2.2%. Nobody believes it. China-Taiwan blockade by June 30th. 2.8. Russian strike on Poland. 2.1. The geopolitical doom contracts, all basically zero.
Which is interesting given how the Iran coverage felt this week. Very elevated. Markets not buying it.
The fear was in the headlines, not in the positions.
Okay, rapid fire. Three stories, fast. California primary, go.
The Sarah wins the top spot. Former HHS secretary, former AG. 12 sources. Pretty standard horse race coverage.
And the second slot is still undecided. Hilton, Steyer, millions of ballots uncounted. The real story might be next week.
The election that isn't over yet. Fun. Kushner Resort in Albania. Strategist.
Thousands of protesters. Adriatic coast. Environmentally sensitive site. Time, Newsweek, WAPO, all covered it.
And right-leaning outlets?
Right-side blind spot, yep.
Which is not surprising, but it's a real story. Environmental protests in the thousands aren't nothing.
And Pope Leo in Spain. This one's interesting.
Wait, first papal visit to Spain in 15 years, and it's a right-side blind spot?
The Pope meeting migrants, urging people to stop fanning polarization. That framing has a specific valence right now.
It does. A pope telling leaders to stop dividing people? Some outlets find that inconvenient.
The pope is now a media blind spot. We live in a time.
He praised Spain's commitment to solidarity. That's not a neutral sentence in 2026.
Nothing's a neutral sentence in 2026. Okay, what to watch next week? Forecaster, start.
MicroStrategy. If the May 31st contract settled at 53%, I want to know if they actually moved. That's the confirmation.
Good one. Strategist?
The War Powers Resolution. It passed the House. Senate next. The procedural path matters, and I don't think the media's tracked the timeline carefully.
They haven't. It'll matter, though. Mine?
Ebola containment numbers.
You read my mind. If the CDC modeling is right, the 3-month clock started Friday. The intervention question gets answered fast.
And if cases start moving, the outlets that ignored it this week will have a very awkward pivot to make.
Or they won't pivot. They'll just start covering it like they always were.
That's how it usually works, yeah.
The quiet reframe. No acknowledgement. Just suddenly, the Ebola outbreak.
As if the last 2 weeks didn't happen.
As if. All right, that's the week. Iran framing gaps, a CDC report that deserved more, markets calling the MicroStrategy bluff, and a papal visit that half the internet missed. Full sourcing and breakdowns are at s2n.news. Go read what your feed didn't show you. We'll see you next week.